We'll turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Ephesians chapter 5. With God's Word open before us, let us just bow, please, and a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in prayer before Thee in the Saviour's name, we think especially, Lord, of these families connected with our church here that have suffered bereavement in recent times, and we pray for the Graham family, and we pray also, Lord, for the Manish family, that Thou will comfort these families and in these family circles, we pray. We pray, Lord, that they will know Thy help and Thy grace and Thy presence, and indeed Thy joy, and Lord, being their help and being their strength in their time of need. And even through the passing away of these loved ones, we pray from the scene of time. We pray that Thou will speak to others in the family circle, maybe not yet saved, not yet ready, O God, to meet with Thee, and not yet prepared for eternity. And that even, Lord, through this, O God, may others come to know the Lord as their own and personal Savior. Help these families, we pray, and be near them, we ask. We thank Thee, Lord, now for Thy precious word. O Lord, speak to our hearts today from Thy word. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. Be unto us all that we need and require, Lord, for the preaching of Thy word. Give help, give wisdom, give clarity, give plainness and simplicity of speech. Let nothing be said, O God, that is not of Thee. Let the words of man fall to the ground and perish. But, O God, let the word of the Lord today prevail in every heart to the salvation of souls, to the blessing, Lord, and encouragement, building up of Thy people, and to the glorifying of Christ. Lead and guide by Thy Holy Spirit to this end, we pray. For these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our text of Scripture for today, we want to look at with you, is verse 17 of Ephesians chapter number 5, where it says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, back at the end of last year, before the Christmas season in our morning services, we commenced a series of messages on living the Christian life. And regarding that subject, we looked at such matters as sanctification in the life of God's people, the assurance of salvation, confession of Christ, soul winning, and consecration in the life of the Lord's people. Well, today, as we would return to that series on living the Christian life, I want us to consider today the great subject of finding the Lord's will for our lives as believers. While He was here on this earth, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was one who delighted in knowing and indeed doing the Father's will. When He prayed to His Heavenly Father in John 17, He could say, "I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do." In other words, He had carried out His Father's will. Again, as He speaks, the Lord Himself, through the psalmist in Psalm 40, He says, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God." The Lord not only did the Father's will, not only did He want to do the Father's will, but He delighted in doing the Father's will. Doing the Father's will was something that brought great joy and great jubilation to the heart of Christ, our Savior. And my, just as God had a plan for a son here on earth, so God also has a plan for all of His children, all of His people here on this earth, the scene of time. Verse 10, where He says to God's people, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we walk in them." In other words, God wants His people to walk in His will here on earth. In other words, God has a specific task for each of His people to carry out in this world. By the end of his earthly life, Paul the Apostle could testify of doing God's will in his own life. He could say, "I have finished my course." In other words, he had
done that which God had wanted him to do in this scene of time. Now, people this morning, in relation to knowing and indeed doing God's will, the believer must ask the question, how can I know God's will for my life? Maybe that's a question you have been pondering in recent times. I'm sure it's a question we all have pondered as God's people. How can I know God's will for my life? Answering that question, we can say that in and of themselves, the believer is incapable of knowing God's will for their life. And the Jeremiah the prophet tells us that over in Jeremiah chapter 10. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, when a person seeks to know God's will by their own strength, or if you like, by their own ingenuity, or by their own wisdom, the outcome is that they will make shipwreck, and they will miss God's will for their lives in this scene of time. But praise God, God has promised and shown us in His Word that it is possible for every Christian, whether they're saved a long time or just recently converted, it is possible for every Christian to know God's will, God's pathway for their life in this scene of time. And dear people, this morning, the Apostle Paul speaks of this tremendous fact, this tremendous reality. In the words of our text this morning here in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, and he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Dear believer in Christ, as you and I would journey to heaven, we can discern God's will for our lives. We can know God's will for our lives. The Lord just does not save us and leave us as Christians to wander aimlessly like lost sheep in this scene of time. No. He has promised to show us, to make known unto us, to reveal to us His will for our lives personally as the people of God. And this being the case, there are three things this morning I want us to note and I want to underline and leave with you regarding this vital matter of finding and knowing and indeed doing the will of God in our lives as Christians. Notice first of all this morning the characteristics of the Lord's will. What are the characteristics of the Lord's will? Well, we say this morning that God's will for the believer is something that is personal. You remember what the Lord says to His people in Psalm 32. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. And those words are personal. They're spoken personally by the Lord to His child. And they show us that God has a plan for our lives that is personal, a plan that is suited to our own personal talents, our own personal needs, our own personal potential, our own personal circumstances. There's a lot of talk in the media today about personal pension plans. Well, God has a personal plan for every one of His children, for every Christian. His will is personal. We can also say today that God's will for the believer is something that is detailed. There's detail in God's will. Remember again what the psalmist says in Psalm 37. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there the psalmist speaks of the steps, likening them onto the will of God for the life of the believer. He says, the steps of a good man. It speaks that God's will for His child is something that is detailed. What do we mean by that? You know, God does not reveal His will to us all at once. Rather, He reveals His will to us step by step. That's God's way of dealing with His people. And brethren and sisters in Christ, when we obey the Lord in one part of His will, then He will show us another part of His will for our lives. He leads His people step by step. We can also say this morning that God's will for the believer is something that is continuous.
Remember what it says in Isaiah 58, verse 11, it says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Child of God, understand this morning that the Lord has a plan for your entire life until you reach heaven itself. Not just for part of your life, not just for a week or a month or a year or a few years. My, He has a plan for your entire life. His will for your life is something that is continuous. We can also say this morning that God's will for the believer is something that is specific, something that is definite. Remember what it says over in Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And that speaks of specific, definite guidance for God's people and God's church. You remember the servant of Abraham when he goes out on the quest of a bride for Abraham's son Isaac, and he finds Rebekah. And what does he say at the conclusion of that whole matter? He says this, I being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He knew specific, definite guidance in finding Rebekah to be the wife of Isaac. That shows us, dear people, that God's will is specific, it is definite. And people of God, God has a definite plan for our lives as Christians, for our work, where He wants us to work. He has a definite plan for our relationships with others in this world. For those of us who are parents, He's a definite plan for the schooling and the education of our children. He has a definite plan regarding marriage. And God speaks to His people regarding marriage, and He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I would especially counsel young people who are saved in our meeting this morning, do not enter into a relationship with somebody who's unsaved. It's the unequal yoke. It is something that is not of God. And do not come to me asking me to marry you, for I cannot marry you. Not because it's the rule of this church. It's the rule of God's Word. Something that God forbids His people to enter into in the Scriptures. My God has a plan for our homes. How our homes are to be ordered. He's a plan for our families. He's a plan for our church. He's a plan for our service for God. He's a plan and how we would worship the Lord. The Bible says we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's will is always definite. It's always specific. We can also say this morning that God's will, for the believer, is always good. You turn in your Bible, please, over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. And just look with me at what Paul says in verse 2. And always remember this, Christian, no matter what you think, no matter what other Christians may even say, or what the world may say, or false religion may say, remember that God says in His Word that His will is for your good and our good as His people. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, notice it, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is always good. It's always for our blessing. The psalmist could speak of the Lord and he could say, as for the Lord, His way is perfect. Someone has once said that there are no disappointments to those whose wills are buried in the will of God. God's will is always for our good. Describing the characteristics of God's will further this morning, we can also say that God's will for the believer, it means separation. Separation from sin and holiness of life in our lives as Christians. Remember what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica? He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness. My, as believers, we are to live a life that is honest, a life of integrity, a life that is moral, a life that is pure, a life that is upright,
a life that is in accordance with God's commands, a life that is separate from the evil ways and attitudes and fashions and lifestyles of this world. Notice how Paul really emphasizes this here to these Christians to whom he was writing at Ephesus. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians 5. He says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that it not be once named among you, as become of saints." He says there in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And again there in verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine," where in his excess he was emphasizing the point there that God's people, their lives are to be separate from sin. They're to be holy unto the Lord. And that is the will of God for all his people and all his church. We can also say this morning that God's will for his people, it means prayer. It means thanksgiving to God. Remember again what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And dear believer, if we are to live in the will of God, we must be a thankful people. We must be mindful of the blessings of the Lord toward us. Not only must we be thankful, we must be a praying people, a prayerful people. There must be time given in our lives daily to prayer. And why it's important also that we give time to the public seasons of prayer in the midweek and at other special times. Dear people, if we do not give thanks to God, and if we do not give place for prayer, private and public prayer in our lives, then as Christians, we'll find it very hard and very difficult to live and to walk in the center of God's will for our lives. God's will is always linked to prayer and thanksgiving in the life of God's people. And we can also say this morning that God's will for the believer, that means doing good unto others. You remember what Peter said to the Christians of his day in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15? He said, "For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." In other words, he was encouraging them to have their life marked by good works as Christians. Not that we're saved by good works, but our life is to be marked as Christians by good works. You read the little epistle of Titus. And Paul wrote to Titus about that whole matter in the church at Crete, about encouraging the Christians there to show forth their Christianity by good works to others. Remember what the Lord says to the Christian, you and I, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Dear people of God, if we allow our hearts and our lives and our thinking to be governed by hatred or malice or our bitterness or envy toward others, then we'll not be walking and living in the will of God as God's people. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, these are the characteristics of God's will for our lives. This is how God wants us to live our Christian life in this world. And regarding God's will for our lives, this is something we are to seek God about. This is something we are to inquire of the Lord regarding. You remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 143, verse 3, he says, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." The psalmist was concerned about living the will of God out in his life. He says, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." Christian, that's a good prayer for you and I to pray today, that in this world in which we live, that God would show us how to walk in the will of the Lord. Yes, the characteristics of the Lord's will. But notice secondly this morning, not only the characteristics of the Lord's will, but notice the requirements for knowing God's will. Well, and considering those requirements, we must say the believer must trust the Lord for guidance. You turn in your Bible back, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Look with me, please, at verses 5 and 6. Verses, I'm sure, are very well known to us all. But it emphasizes this point that the believer, who he is or whoever she is, must trust the Lord for guidance. Look at what it says in verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In other words, by prayer, the lesson is there that we must ask the Lord as his people for guidance in our lives. It was Leonard Ravenhill, that great preacher of a bygone day, who said that men give advice, but it is only God who can give guidance, and that is true. Maybe I'm speaking to a Christian in the meeting this morning, and maybe at this point in your life, you need guidance about a particular matter that's affecting your life. Then, Christian, I encourage you today, pray to God about that matter. Talk it over with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek his guidance. Seek his direction. Surrender your will to the Lord on the matter, and trust God to guide you aright as a Christian. The Bible says, have faith in God. Trust God to guide you. Also, in thinking further about the requirements of knowing God's will, we can say the believer must wait upon the Lord for guidance. Think again of what the psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 7. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He speaks about waiting upon the Lord. And dear Christian, when it comes to making vital decisions, decisions that will affect your life, maybe the life of your family, your home, and others that you rub shoulders with day by day, maybe even others in the work of God, it's never good to rush that decision. It's never good to rush that decision. Making important decisions, Christian, learn to wait upon God for clear and definite direction and definite guidance from God. Learn to wait upon God. Do not rush into any decision. Remember years ago reading a little book by Warren Wiersbe. I recommend it to every Christian. It's entitled God Isn't in a Hurry. And it was a great blessing to my soul of learning to wait upon the Lord. Learn to wait upon God. And making the momentous choice to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that were destroyed. What did Nehemiah do? He waited upon God. He says, I prayed and fasted. And he says this, certain days. He didn't rush into the decision. Jeremiah says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Dear Christian, if you are unsure about a matter, whatever that matter is in your life, Christian, wait upon God for direction. Wait upon God. And I tell you this, if the matter is of God, God will make his will abundantly clear to you. The Lord is not the author of confusion. Wait upon God. We must wait upon God. We must trust the Lord for guidance. Notice something else regarding the requirements of knowing God's will. The believer must delight himself in the Lord for guidance. Remember again the words of the psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And child of God, this delighting in the Lord, it means us putting the Lord first in our lives. Means us putting the Lord's word first in our lives. The Lord's work first in our lives. The Lord's ways first in our lives. And when we do this, then the Lord will make known his will to us. He will guide us. He will give us clear direction when we learn to put the Lord first in our lives. Remember what the psalmist says. He says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That's those who put the Lord first. You remember what the Lord said to the disciples in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dear Christian, if you put God first in your life, the Lord will meet your every need, even the matter of guidance and direction in your life. Remember the words of Hosea the prophet. He says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Dear people of God, if we are living for ourselves, if we are living in a pathway that is rebellious to God's word and God's will and God's commandments, if we have no time for the Lord in our lives and the Lord's way and the Lord's work and the Lord's word, then we'll not know God's will for our lives. That's the bottom line. We'll be wandering aimlessly in this world as God's people out of the will of God for our lives. The requirement to knowing God's will by the characteristics of the Lord's will. But notice finally this morning, notice the means with which the Lord's will is revealed. How does the Lord reveal His will to us? Well, the Lord reveals His will to the believer by His word. Turn with me, please, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 16 and 17. And you'll see this very clearly for yourself. Paul is writing to Timothy, a young Christian, and he's seeking to counsel him and show him that God's will is revealed to him through the Word of God. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And dear believer, it's by the consistent, prayerful reading and study of God's Word that the Lord will reveal His will unto you. What does that mean for us as Christians? Daily we need to be in the Word of God. Daily as believers we need to be reading the Word of God and studying it for ourselves, not just on a Sunday when we come to church. Our Bible should be opened up before us and before the Lord throughout the week. And it's important that we get into the Word, that God can guide us through His Word. And I would encourage you, Christian, read through the Bible for yourself. Read it book by book. Read it chapter by chapter. As you read it, pray that God will speak to you. And I would counsel you from this pulpit only always to only use the authorized King James Version of the Scriptures, not the modern perversions of the Scriptures. That is the best English translation of the Word of God that there is, that God has owned and blessed throughout the history of time. And my Christian, if you have important choices in your life to make, get before God. Get the Word of God open. Get down on your knees before God and pray and ask God to show you from His Word what He wants you to do. And my, He will direct you. And like David, through His Word, you'll be able to say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And let me say this, and this is something that is fundamental. No matter who the Christian is, God never guides His people contrary to the Word of God. God never leads His children in a way that is opposite to what the Scriptures have to say and what the Scriptures have to teach. Dear Christian, God's will for your life will always agree to the Word of God. If you come to me and you say, I'm led to do something and it's contrary to the will of God, that leading is not of God. And no matter who is leading you, it's not God that is leading you. God's leading is always in agreement with the Word of God. It was John Calvin who said, unless God's Word illuminate the way, the whole life of man is wrapped in the mist of darkness. And my, Calvin was right. But we can say further this morning that the Lord reveals His will to the believer by His Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. He says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. And child of God, when the Lord wants you to do something, the Holy Spirit will burden your heart about that matter. And again, this is fundamental as well. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to God's Word. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in agreement with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never leads in a path that is contrary to God's Word. And over the years I've met Christians that said, the Spirit of God has led me to do this and that, and it's the complete opposite to the teaching of God's Word. That leading is not of God. It's of the devil. It's not of God. The The Holy Spirit always leads in accordance with the Word of God. Did not Jesus say about the Spirit in John 16, He will guide you into all truth? And dear people of God, if we are going in a wrong path as Christians, and that can happen to us, the Holy Spirit will convict us. The Holy Spirit will trouble our conscience. We'll lose the peace of God. We'll not have no peace about the matter in our own life. And you see that in the life of Paul and Silas. They were Christians. They were God's servants. And they wanted to go eastward with the gospel into Asia Minor. Something very good and commendable, we might say. But the Bible says this in Acts 16, verse 7. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. God said, Paul and Silas, you're to go west with the gospel. You're not to go east. And as Christians, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to His leading in our lives in agreement with His Word, because Paul warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit as His people. He warns us not to quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. Something else. The Lord reveals His will to the believer, but by providence. You read the book of Ruth, the book of Esther, and there you'll see the hand of God's providence directing their lives in every circumstance. David could say, My times are in thy hands. Dear people, let me say to you this morning, there's no such thing as luck, be it good luck or bad luck. Nothing ever happens to us as believers but by chance. Always remember this, we have a God in heaven who is sovereign. And God is sovereign in the affairs of all of our lives as His people. And in connection with us as His people, God, He opens doors. He does that. But God also closes doors in our face as God's people. Job recognized that, for he said, The Lord gave, the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And my, when the Lord is directing us, His providence will order circumstance in our lives that will agree with His Word and will agree with the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And dear Christian, when these three things agree, we should not delay in doing God's will. We should do it with haste. We should be like David who said, I will run in the way of thy commandments. Because you can be sure, dear Christian, when you know God's plan and God's will for your life, whatever that is, whatever concerns you, the devil will put every roadblock up to hinder you, to hold you back, and to stop you going true with God and obeying the will of the Lord in your life. F.B. Meyer, that great preacher of a bygone day, said, when the Word of God and the impulse of the Holy Spirit is in my heart, and the outward circumstances are all in harmony, he says, then I am convinced that I am acting in accordance with the will of God. In other words, when the circumstance agreed with the Word and with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he says, I am convinced that I'm acting, that I'm moving, that I'm walking with God in the will of the Lord. Oh, child of God, in this new week that lies before us, indeed, in this year that we've just entered into, may our desire be day by day as God's people, not our will, but thine be done. As the little children's chorus would say, let the Lord have His way in your life every day. My, there's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way. And my, when we do the will of God, no matter who is for us, no matter who's against us, my, we'll have no regrets. We'll be content and happy that we've done our best for God, that we've done the will of God. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. No matter who you are in this meeting, let me say this. It's the will of God that you repent of your sins. For the Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's the will of God that you believe in Christ for salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you are to be saved, you need to come repenting of your sins before God, confessing your sins to God, trusting Christ as your Savior, and then as a Christian,
you can start to live for God and live for His will day by day until Jesus Christ comes, until Jesus Christ calls you home to glory. Oh, then live for God. Do His will at all times. And God will bless you. And God will use you for His honor and for His glory. We're going to close.